It was funny for the first couple chapters, but then it's like, okay, I get the point. Yeah. Done.
This joke got old.
Yep, that was definitely the case for that.
I get it, okay? I get it.
What also I get is we should start this episode.
Yeah. Hey,
you ready to start this, Matt?
Welcome to This Week in MTG with your hosts, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic Folk, to episode 221 of This Week in MTG, your aggregate news podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your hosts. I'm Matt. Over there, we got goal mood setting Danny.
I don't know about that, but
he set the energy last night. First goal. I think it's just fair to say it was a minute. You got it fast.
It was a minute. Honestly, was not watching the clock.
Came out of nowhere.
That other voice. It did. You hear? Just Anthony.
Not dead yet.
Just Anthony. I like how I stopped myself to make sure that there wasn't anything written.
And no Big G.
No Big G. He is on parent duty tonight because there are conferences in town.
Yeah.
And I think he's made it clear he's a teacher. So,
if he hasn't, and you don't know this, it's true.
Yeah. Now go find him online, you know?
Don't do that.
Find him in real life.
Find him in real life at a store.
Yes. And then tell him something. We're glad that you decided to join us. Going to take a moment here at the top of the episode to thank you guys for that. We're grateful for the opportunity to bring you the latest updates, insights, and discussion from the world of Magic each week. Here's to many more episodes of shared excitement and community in the realm of Magic the Gathering. Furthermore, we'd like to express our deep appreciation to the Patreons of this podcast. Their generous monetary support directly contributes to the success and continued growth of this show. Thank you for being an integral part of the podcasting journey for us and for helping us bring the magic to life with each episode. So big thank you to Amelia Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, No Modifier, Christian, Barra, KCB, Ricky R, Chris O, Ranger Dan, Crazy Mage, and Whack P. Thank you to each and every one of you. If you are entertained by or are enjoying the content that we are producing, you don't have to be a Patreon to support us. Going to the podcast app that you're using right now to rate and review us helps us tremendously. It raises up in the charts for other Magic players to find. One of my favorite ways, though, is just by word of mouth, telling your LGS rival. Telling your grandma about us. Your cat, even. Tell your cats. Cats live. Listen.
They're
to
not
going to
listen anyway.
They will low-key not listen because they're at home all day. They're going to be listening to a podcast. They're going to be telling your Alexa to play This Week in MTG.
True.
So tell your cat.
They just might. You never know.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our LGS sponsor, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. So let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar, and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
Thank you, J-Dubs, for supporting us. Now, with all that podcast business out of the way, let's move to this episode's breakdown where you will hear what you're going to hear on this week's episode. Starting off, we're going to go over to the Boggle Desk with a Salt and Sugar report by me. Oh.
No, I'm just going to do the event stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For the Boggle Desk.
Yes, and then we're going to pass the torch over to Anthony here, where he's going to be talking about an RCQ, Paradox events and stuff, local stuff. We're going to touch on some other events in Minneapolis.
And I'll do the wonderful dishonor of not being as good as Garrett.
then we'll jump into the news. Starting off with something cool that came out of MagicCon Minneapolis. I don't know. Did you guys see any of that?
I didn't get to read it yet.
Okay. And then updates with alchemy and stuff. And then we're going to talk pricing on some cards. And then we'll move to the Conjured Currency, where we play everyone's favorite game, the Conjured Currency. And this week, was it decided it's Danny that's taking it?
This is Danny's catch-up week. So this that Danny's way, week. Next yeah. week, we start with you, me, Garrett, and then Danny. We're all on the same page.
Okay. As best as possible until Danny's gone playing pool again.
Or something else.
I see that smile.
Yeah, because I'm gone.
17th and 23rd, you said?
Danny, you just have to have enough
18th
points.
18th and 25th.
You just have 25th. To have enough points to be ahead of Matt. That's all that matters.
Already am.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, this is where you get to have those off weeks then.
No, that's the case. I am at 1.6. Danny's at a solid 2.6.
Hey.
Danny's at a solid 2.
We'll cover the points when we get to the game. We'll don't the worry points. About right now.
That's salty. I caught up to him.
One chance. One shot. I mean, I'm not surprised. Danny Gatz, good luck.
All right, yeah.
So, starting off, Boggle Desk, Salt and Sugar Report.
What? No podcast updates?
No.
Nah, we'll have something for you next week's show, because we're going to have a... No. Sorry, two weeks, right? When Dan's not here on the 18th, we'll have something then, because we have our Commander League stuff. We'll have some updates from that.
Oh, yeah.
The 18th episode for the 18th will be one that we'll tell you about that. So, because originally it was going to be possible this weekend, but then too many people were like, no, we can't. So, sugar and salt us up, baby.
Got you with that. So
move along.
Sorry.
So, as always, we're playing some Saturday Night Magic on the Discord. I was in a pod with Big G and Chris from New York.
I would have been there, but like I said before, my boy didn't want to go to bed right away, and I was recouping from being ill and the fact that I got too tired. And like Matt said, I old manned again.
You're a chicken. You just didn't want to... I mean, old man, yeah.
Shut up. I would have slapped the shit out of you boys if I could.
So, I don't remember too much of the details and stuff. It was a fun game. The biggest point of it. So, we had Chris O playing, what's the pirates that came out?
Oh, the new pirate guy.
That's proliferating and populating. It yeah. makes you think.
Anyways, I'll find the name for it.
Sultai right guy. Yeah. He was playing that. Slightly upgraded pre-con. I was playing my janky Abzan Infect, which is Kamal, Heart of Krosa, and Ravos Soul Tender. And Garrett was playing his Hackam, the Boros guy with the heal.
Oh,
His Azorius deck, or not his Boros deck with equipment and stuff.
Hakim of Etros?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing was kicking ass. So
I'm glad it was a good thing I gave it to him for an idea.
Game started off in Chris's favor. He tossed down a Chasm Skalker and got to the point where it was a 12-12 and it was dealing a lot of damage. And I'm like, hey, well, I don't want to. I had a card in hand, Elspeth Conquers Death. And I'm like, okay, well, this will take care of that. Garrett had a Sword of War and Peace on the field because he cast Feast and Famine afterwards. So he had a sword and it was Chasm Skalker were like my two best options. And I'm like, well, if the Chasm Skalker Stalker dies, there's going to be a lot of squiddies with that. So I ECD'd that to open the board. And pretty much from there, Garrett started to kick everyone's teeth in. He had a 3-3 beast from Chris O because he blew up one of the swords. It wasn't, I think it was Feast and Famine that he blew up, but he had like four other swords that gave that beast pro everything. Etch champion, and he was just stacked up with all the Boros equipment-y good stuff there. And I was able at one point to get Garrett with one poison counter. And Chris O was proliferating the fuck out of that. I only did 1 point of poison damage, but Chris got him up to 7 by the time that the decision for Garrett to kill either one of us, because he was strong enough, he was like, okay, I can either kill Chris or I can kill Matt. And at this point of the game, my board state did not look the best. I had Phyrexian Arena, In Search of Greatness, and a Skrell's Hive, and like two creatures on the board. He had like he could have swung and killed me. Both of our life totals were low. And he decided to go to Chris because he's like, I think I could take on Matt. And it was pretty much from there that I drew the Phyrexian Outbreak card. It's the board wipe of two and a black. An opponent gets a poison counter, then all creatures opponents control get negex equal to the poison counters on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Chris's dude's name is Xavier Cell, Infested Captain.
There we go. And I cast that, which kills his creatures, aside from his tapped sword one, because it was a 9-power creature and he had 8 poison counters on it. But I was able then to go in and swing with my 3 toxic creatures for the win. And the gist of that is Garrett broke the golden rule of a EDH pod with Matt in it. You kill Matt first.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm fine with holding that title. And Garrett broke it. He broke the golden rule. You always kill Matt first in a pod. Danny, ain't that right?
People don't let me.
People don't let me kill him. Well, you play group hugs. That's what happens. Other people
when
do.
When I stop playing group hugs, everyone's like, nope. Your deck's too powerful. I gotta kill you first.
I do love your Rift deck.
I know. It's a pretty good deck.
It gets so explosive. It's like a
lots of tokens, man. That's what it does.
It's so good.
What's the other deck that you played the other night that we were playing? Sisei, right?
Yeah, Sisei Legend. Or did you change it to Joda? Or is Joda
in
the 99?
It's Sisei. Okay. Joda's not in it.
Ah, Sisei's pretty good. I like that deck too. Danny has more decks. It's just like he pulls something out when he didn't have his other two, and I was just like, "Wait, you have more decks?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." And I'm like,
"I don't like making people cry often."
I think I have 12 different decks.
I just wish you'd play more of them because I like seeing the mind. Of
I think the one deck about. That you saw was Eladrami. Eladrami.
Yep.
Yeah, that Elf. One too. Yep. I saw that one.
And then so my Ubin's missing 6 lands.
So I've seen 2 lands. Of your decks that are not Rift or Kenrith.
Yeah, I have. So Rith was the first. Sisei was number 3. I have Brimez, the precon. Ubin, which has been was a precon, but it was constructed differently. Who else do I have? I'll have to look that up. I'll get back to you.
He needs to know. Anything else you have for Salt and Sugar before we're done with this?
Little life sugar here. As mentioned in the opening, Danny, he set the energy for our hockey game that we played.
I did nothing.
You fucking got that.
I did nothing.
Got the first goal. Set the energy for the rest of our team. We won that game last night, and it was awesome. It was a great game played for all of us.
It was not me. Oh, also have a Zerathian Enchanter.
Oh, that's right. You do.
That's the deck. If I want to win, I just pull it out and I win.
That's the dirty deck.
And then I put it back.
But
you should never feel shame in wanting to win once in a while.
Yeah, but no, that's why I get my win, then he goes away.
He likes to get his cheeky wins of making us draw our library with Force Fruitions or Folio of Fancy or whatever that one is.
Yeah, Folio of Fancy. Yeah,
okay.
I just like being the arch enemy. Everyone has to kill me. That's a fine thing. If I bring you all together as one, that just means I did my job. I'm a threat. But I suppose
but we should probably... You didn't want to be a threat the other two weeks.
I know. I'm going to... If I'm not out of town this Saturday, I'll be on.
I'm going to be out of town this Saturday.
Yeah, well, it's not about you being on. It's about me being on, okay? I've been off twice now.
Should we take bets to see if you're going to fall asleep first?
This is if I'm in town. If I'm not out of town on Saturday night,
I'm going to be on. If you're in town, I'm saying you're going to fall asleep.
What's your bet then? What do you want?
A boosty. A play boosty of MKM.
Deal.
Okay.
And once again, this is only if I'm not out of town. If I fall asleep do not jump on for the pod, boosty.
I'll be looking for you.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
But are you ready to take it away at the Boggle Desk?
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's take it away for some sweet upcoming events, you know. All right. So hold on.
You want to talk about an event result here?
Well, I'm getting there. This is the past event result first. Right?
Oh, I see what you said. Upcoming. Did you? Or am I missing?
I know. I said upcoming events and stuff. And stuff.
Okay. You do your thing, boo.
Yeah. All right. Dishonoring Garrett. No problem. So we're starting off with a past event that happened in Bismarck for an RCQ standard this past Saturday, I'd hopefully assume. Of course.
Yeah, there's unfortunately no link for this.
Yeah. That's okay. We don't need a link. There are 17 competitors there. We have a first through eight for the top eight situation. We got Caleb Weir, who is playing Golgari mid-range deck. We have good old Dylan Lee that we know from town here playing Esper mid-range. Noah Rhodes playing Golgari mid-range. Cody Anderson playing Mono Red Aggro. Brian Weber, who is also playing Mono Red Aggro. Mason Weed coming in with that old Demir mid-range. We have Tyler Berger playing Simic Cookies. That would have been interesting to see that deck. And then we had Robbie Montgomery playing Mono Blue Tempo. Also, would have been interesting to see that deck too, I bet. So, good for you guys that we know from the Fargo area, also Midwestern area. Yeah, made it work with 17 people. So that's not bad.
It's going to show that, you know,
Standard's not dead.
Standard's a really good format. You know, you hear a lot of good things about it. The 75K at Chicago had good results. Everyone was saying, yeah, nah, it's a balanced format right now.
Yeah, no, that's good.
It's just too expensive to keep up with.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, if we're looking at the price of a modern deck compared to these standard decks.
But the modern decks you can play for a lot longer than you can for standard.
That's true.
That is the truth.
You can play a lot longer.
Like, you can invest into a modern deck. You can't invest into a standard because you're never going to get your money out.
So, yes, kids, when you get older, modern will be like investing into a house. So, there you go.
Basically, already is.
Yeah.
That is official advice from Anthony himself.
Right. We have some Paradox events. Standard Showdowns will be on Tuesday night starting at 6:30 p.m. They have a Commander Night also on Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. You'll have your FNM Classics, which are Modern Draft and Commander, starting at 5 p.m. for Commander. 6:15 is the preliminary start for Modern and Draft. Follow Commander Launch Party at 6 p.m. Every participant using a Fallout deck will receive a promo war room. So this is coming this Friday.
Correct. Exclamation point on this is it's free to enter.
For the Fallout one?
Yeah, for the Fallout one. You get
It's not in my notes, Matt.
You get extra rewards if you have one of the Fallout decks, so you got to like buy a Fallout deck. It's free to enter. You could just bring your own deck. But if you buy a Fallout deck, then you can get a couple more perks. I think they got something there. If you're playing a Fallout deck, there's something.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. J-Dub's events for this weekend coming.
Oh, it says it right there. The ones using the Fallout deck get the War Room. Not every participant gets the War Room.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just
Jesus, Matt.
Being stupid. If you have to Fallout, you gotta.
You have to, but yes, you have to use one of the precons.
Yes.
To get the War Room at this event.
Yes.
If you really want that war room.
Otherwise, it's free to enter.
Otherwise, you just buy it in the secondary market.
Yes.
If that's a big deal, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, J-Dub's events. Standard Showdown, Tuesday night starting at 6. Commander night starting at 6 on Thursdays. FNM, Standard and Commander starting at 6:30 p.m. Modern League is at noon on Saturdays. Legacy, noon on Sunday.
With those Standard Showdown events, remember, they got the badass Omen Path promos. And stuff.
Oh yeah, for the lands.
Yeah, Omen Path lands.
Because they're the first. It was the first of the first showdown of the season was the special card, right?
Yeah, the Sarkon and the
Year of the Dragon stuff.
Dragon Servants.
Yeah,
those were while supplies last. They have a deeper pool of the Omen Path full art lands here. So
continue out through the whole thing. Yeah,
if you want some of that, that's where you get the playing the Standard Showdown. I think Casey's a fan of the Standard Showdown, right?
Yeah. I want to get to one of these days, too.
It's a Tuesday night. I'm never going to be able to make it.
I might be able to make it. I don't know.
I mean, if they could keep going, like, as soon as my wife graduates her school, then there's a chance and her schedule changes. But right now.
I also have to make it back to a Thursday night at J-Dubs, too, and we haven't done that either.
Same thing there. My wife has school.
I'm just busy, usually. Also, we have some events at Ultima Gaming. They have their Oathbreaker pods Monday starting at 6 p.m. We will never make it to unless we decide to take the show on the road. Commander Night on Wednesday starting at 6 p.m., which, as we mentioned before, you'll see a Mew there.
A Mew likes to go there.
So say hi to him for us.
And play against his Wyland deck. Wyland? It's the Boros equipment guy from, not Boulder's Gate, originally FR?
Ooh.
But also ask for his Light Paws deck.
Yeah, Light Paws. And his new Agar's Kos deck, too.
Yeah.
His mono white one. That one is spicy. Also, they have for their F&M night is Pioneer and Commander starting at 6 p.m. Little Big Wars. What's up with that? Just stop by and do some drafting and other things that they have usually.
I guess.
I mean, I don't have much else for them. I mean, they are...
Rep local, I'd say.
We rep the local. That's what we do. It's okay. So...
I think it's missed here. Paradox is having a standard, not a showdown. They got a standard, not a standard showdown. There's a standard store championship this Saturday, and they.
Oh, that's right. We don't have that in here. Yeah, that's we forgot about. Yeah, because that's the.
Good job, Garrett.
That's the.
That is the cool promos where winner gets the.
It's the borderless Dothy
textless.
Borderless textless.
Dothy Voidwalker.
Dothy Voidwalker.
And depending on if you're a WPM premium store, it has that store's name in the bottom left-hand corner.
And that is only on the non-foil.
Yes.
So if you want the foil one, get second place.
Yep.
Which is such a weird thing.
Yeah. And they got non-foils otherwise, for their...
They also have...
Angel of Despair.
Angel of Despair and Mortify.
Yes.
So I don't know what the participants thing is.
On Mortified promo card.
So Mortify is the promo. Top 8... is the Angel of Despair, and then it'll be Dothy for 1 and 2.
Yep.
So, which...
Most WPN stores
looks pretty sick.
It does look pretty sick. That's going to be a very premium one, because Dothy is definitely a card that still gets played.
I have it pulled up.
Thanks. Thanks, Danny. It's
Saturday, March 9th and at noon. Entry was $24.99. Now is $19.99. Format, Swiss rounds. Prizes, first place gets 6 Murder Collector boosters. Second gets 4 Murders Collector boosters. Third and fourth get 3. Fifth through eighth get 5. All other records get 2. Additional prizes. First place, you have the 1 Dothy Voidwalker Paradox Comics named promo card plus 1 foil Dothy Voidwalker. First through eighth, I'm pretty sure that's meant to be second. You get 1 Angel of Despair Paradox Comics named proxy card. A foil Angel of Despair promo card and participation. Now you get 1 Mortified promo card. All this builds up to our greatest store champs yet.
First place gets both Dothies then?
I'm looking through comments to see.
Okay. Either way, there's a Dothy on the line here, and they are a WPN store, so they do have one if you want to try to get that.
Yeah, check your local stores for that. Because this would be a fun event.
And that's really a standard event?
Standard.
That'd be kind of interesting. If I wasn't busy with like other things in my life, I'd totally be hitting these up.
If you weren't busy sleeping.
Yeah, so the Dothy's only for first.
I'm old.
So you get Dothy if you get first, and then apparently you get another Angel of Despair along with it.
So you have both Dothy's if you get first.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if
in the past it hasn't been always like that, but whatever. Casey says standard's fun, yeah. We know, Casey. We know. We're just older dudes that like to play Eternal Format stuff.
Known
as Commander and Modern.
Sniffles. Yeah, well, it's because you get the Paradox card, which is not foil, and then you get a foil one.
Okay.
So you get the flat one, and then you get the Pringle.
They must have.
it's already freaking...
Yeah, you can see
it's Pringling in the...
It's...
The photos.
The foils are just going to happen to be that way. That's okay. There's ways to... Get rid of that Pringles. Just gotta smash it with an old encyclopedia. If your kids remember what those are. But anyways, yeah. So, repping Little Big Wars. Make sure you stop by there if you want to do just like the draft stuff. We're still not sure of their schedule ever because none of us go there. I haven't been there in like over 2 years. So, sorry. But they are a cool store. Still, I will say one thing on a side note for that. When Neon Dynasty came out, and I was like hunting for Tezzerets then.
Yep.
I was in that store, and then that's where I bought my Blightsteel Colossus figurine.
Yeah.
That you can paint and stuff and everything. Yep. Which, I mean, one day I might just do that.
It was the Double Masters like pose, right? The Double Masters
Blightsteel. I think it kind of was, yeah. But so I bought that, and I was like, oh, that's right. They have all this cool miniature stuff in here. And I was like looking around at everything, and I'm like, if only I had more time and a lot more money, I'd totally play some Warhammer 2. But I don't have that, so. All right, and the other big thing that if people in the Discord have been looking at and checking out, Garrett's pretty excited about this because he got approval. We got a NRG Series 10K Showdown for Modern in Minneapolis on 420. Giggity.
There's going to be a lot of that going on, too.
Oh, yeah. Starting at 9 a.m. Anyway, so this is a Modern tabletop format tournament. There are limited seats. You have to get yourself a seat if you want. As of right now, there are 13 spots taken out of the 300 total. So register.
Good news. Also, I might be going to that as well.
Motherfucker. I can't
also,
go.
Also, we might have a friend that went down to MagicCon Minneapolis, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to come up for that one as well.
Good. Good.
So
I will try and make it to another one later.
I can't go.
I can't go either. That is my wife slash other in-laws birthday weekend stuff. So
celebrate at NRG.
That's fine. I'm going to Vegas next weekend anyway.
Listen, I may not have been dead yet, but I definitely would be in the fucking ground dredged out hard. So no.
Would you consider yourself a stinkweed imp or dredge, a grave troll?
I would probably put myself more as like
dead.
A moss hound?
No.
Dead.
Trying to the thug, Golgari Rot thug or whatever it is. Or the shambler, you know, I'm just kind of in the middle.
Be dead.
But I'd be dead. I wouldn't be used for much else. I'm not that good for a graveyard cry.
You'd be ousted.
All right, yeah, but so the dates are for this. Like I said, it is the 20th of April. It says start at 9 a.m. Get your seats. Entry fee is $70 plus $643, which I'm guessing is like the taxing stuff or whatever for it. So you're looking at like an $80 entry fee, which that's fine, whatever. Make sure you get your travel.
It's 10K. Or is that the 15K?
No, this is the 10K. This is all 10K.
Okay. No, Legacy's 15, I thought.
Yeah, there's a Legacy 15K.
No. Legacy 5K Legacy.
Oh, is it 5K? Oh, sorry. 5K Legacy trial.
It's a $15,000
weekend. Yeah, sorry.
$15,000 prizes for all the events.
But yeah, it is at the Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront Convention Center area there, if you need to know. Yeah, just check it out. I mean, like we said, it's a pre-register for both events through MTG Melee. Limited on-site registration is available. This event caps at 300 people. On-site registration will be available as space permits and will cost $5 more than your pre-register rate. Also, hotel room block information will be to be announced since we're not that close yet. There's also some vendors and special guests, which we haven't had any of that yet either, but we'll cover that when we get closer as well. And then we've already talked about your main event information. There will be a list of side events that you can check out through the site here. And they also still are following their COVID-19 policy. So read up on that as well. But yeah, this should be a very exciting thing. And I've already offered my services if people would like of you and Garrett. I don't think anyone else that would be going really needs help because most people play more than we do. But I can build a good number of the modern decks. So if there's something you guys want to test against with your stuff, let me know. I'll definitely help out with that. So, if that's kosher with you, Matt.
I don't know why I gotta ask if that's kosher with me.
Because
you're the one offering to play Magic with people.
I know, exactly right. So, there's that. And then we also have a very important upcoming event that we really need. I need to stop leaning away from the mic to look left.
You do.
I'm stupid. Sorry.
Adjust your mic, sir.
I'm trying to. It's hard to read with a computer. I'm not used to this right now. I'm a professional podcaster. I can't do this right
now. You're not professional right now.
I'm so unprofessional. Anyways, another upcoming event that we got from our card father, Nomad. We have the Spring Brawl event by This Week in MTG in the Discord community. This will be starting March 15th.
Next Wednesday.
Yep, next Wednesday. There is no entry fee. So you should, yeah, free fitty, man. You should play. Please, everyone listening, you need to come play. They're a lot of fun.
What do you do to play?
Well, first off, you got to have Arena. You got to jump in the Discord and let us know. Danny hates Arena, but that's okay. That's one time Danny will play on there.
Yeah.
But you got to jump in the Discord channel for this.
Honestly, you should
you got to let this, Nomad and Garrett know you want
to
play.
You should be playing this event just to see Danny play on Arena.
You should definitely. It is open to all Discord members on MTG Arena. Historic Brawl is our format of choice. So not Standard Brawl. It's Historic Brawl.
It's almost like Danny is the groundhog for Arena.
Kind of is. It is a best of one round robin. Round robin.
Wabbit.
Wabbits, man. Now we got to talk about rabbits and everything else. Challenge matches, random prizes, and then prizes announced on April 1st at our special link tree there that we got for you. Yeah, this is huge. You also... you don't have to have one deck to play the whole time, right? You can play different decks for each one. So yeah, you get to choose what decks you want to play for each rounds that you play against everybody. It is at your pace. It is just messaging people through the Discord or through Arena. If you see them on, be like, hey, you want to get your game done quick? This is also an event that all four of us play, so you get a chance to try to beat us if you think you're good enough.
It's not that hard.
Don't worry. Anthony will fall asleep mid-game.
Shut up.
Matt will forget that he has a game with you, so it's all true. Right.
Matt will forget. He'll walk away and he'll be like, why does he keep roping? I don't understand this shit. So, So, point is, though, I'll tell you right now, I built some extra spicy brews that I got, so I'm just saying, I'm going to lay some slap on some people this time around.
Nope.
I'm going to be grinding for some wild cards here to finish, to adjust two of my decks.
Yeah, I got about five decks right now. I'll probably, for this event, I'm assuming I'll end up somewhere around 10. So, I got some stuff I want to try out and play around with, because I got a lot of cool things. It's free. Come play. And also, if you want to hang out and chat with us, too, like, we even will probably stream it through Discord, too, so people want to just watch if there's, like, a weekend night. Who knows? Maybe we'll even give up one of our pod weekends just to do this, because... it's fucking cool. I mean, I probably wouldn't. It'd be fun. So, and then to finish it off for our last upcoming event, we have a Legacy and CEDH weekend up in Minot, North Dakota. I hope we all can find this out, but it'll be April 20th and 21st. So, on the 20th, that Saturday, there's a Legacy Swiss cut to top 4-8, depending on attendance. Deck list will be required. Starts at 1 p.m. $40 entry fee. Guaranteed first place gets $400 cash prize or $500 store credit. Remaining prize will be based on attendance. Then you have the 21st, that's Sunday. There'll be CEDH event, 11 a.m. start time, 25 entry fee. First place guaranteed $250 cash, $325 store credit. And then all other entry fees will create the remaining support prizes. And I see that Garrett didn't put down the store that this is at in Minot. But I assume it's probably the big store in Minot.
I think it doesn't J-Dubs have a relationship with the Minot store for their Tri-City Legacy events?
I think they do. I don't know the store, though, because I'm not normally doing this stuff, so I don't have to think about it.
Chaos?
There, maybe.
Might be Chaos. So.
Remember, this is an actual event.
Yes.
Don't, you know, telling the truth.
Be honest. Don't be a douche. Play the game fair. Also remember, this is
Tiny Edges, $400 on the line.
It's going to be some pretty real stuff. So also don't.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
It's at Chaos.
Okay. It's at Chaos.
Confirmed.
It's at Chaos. It's been confirmed. But yeah, just make sure like this, I guess the way I could explain it from like all the heavy events I've ever played before, it's just play and be respectful. Don't read in too much to your opponent on like certain things, because like they're playing to win.
You don't want to be the next week's Twitter Discord.
No, you don't want to be that. But if you find a guy that's kind of nice to talk to while you're playing, that's okay. But just remember, he might not talk to you back until after it's done. But you know, it's a play to win thing. That's how it is. So that's all we got for events. We should probably head over to the news.
The news. This first one is very interesting. It's more of like highlighting kind of a rare and oddity now in Magic the Gathering. According to Dextro, ultra rare MTG Secret Lair prize cards found on sale for 400 $1,000 at MagicCon Chicago.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts. The only four copies.
Yeah, only four copies. And these, so these are the brainstorms that came from the Secret Lair Showdown, that there are only four made. They went to all four winners of last year's Secret Lair Showdowns that happened in Philly, Minneapolis, Worlds, and I can't remember the other one that was like midsummer.
Barcelona.
There we go.
Yeah.
Someone, each one of them, got paid for those cards. And honestly,
well, I mean, this only four copies exist. Why wouldn't you sell it?
And roughly, if the numbers fare out, like if the store that got it, that's $100K payout.
Well, if they got
each card, yeah, if they got
worst,
that, let's say,
worst case scenario,
it's probably like 75,000.
I was gonna say 75, worst case scenario. 75K for a card is not that bad.
That is not that bad. Not Post Malone money or anything, but like that.
Hey, it feels your gameplay, that's for sure.
Yeah, so one store, one vendor had that at their booth. This was seen on Reddit. So Magic is no stranger to issuing limited cards at tournaments since events. The Secret Lair Showdown has fostered this as well. As the popular card, one fan wandering the merch booths found all four brainstorms that were handed out to the winners on the first showdown on sale. It's a scarce find, and only four were ever printed, priced as a set for $400,000. They're not selling them individually.
I would hope not. That's cool, though.
Yeah, that is a wild thing. Just like, goddamn.
I mean, I just, there's a part of me, like, for this that I am like minorly shocked that all four of them that already bought up. But then again, like, whoever won those, like, they're not like, how do I put it? It's they're clearly professional players in the sense of, like, they do this for their thing that won, like, majority of them that won them, you know? But, like, it's not like these are pro tour type guys. Cause, like, if a pro tour type guy would have got one of these, they probably would hold on to it for a while and be like, oh, it's really cool. And then sell it later, right?
Oh, no.
So, like, it's the level of, like, is it, professional grinders, like, is this, I just don't know. I mean, it's cool. I think it's great they got their money for it. I think it's great for everything that what it is. I think it's really great this store actually did the legwork to get all four of them.
Well, it's a vendor
to make
that,
a playset. So
my question is or my question, thought, speculation. This is going off of what we saw down in MagicCon Minneapolis last year.
Yeah,
is that there were people, vendors that had their buy lists.
They hunt.
They had the Regavan from the Secret Lair Showdown and stuff that they were trying to buy, a variety of them. So I would not be surprised if after the event, or shortly after, like during the event, they like gave their number to these people. It's like, we want these.
If you're
cards.
Interested in selling, let us know. Yeah. We'll buy.
Yeah, and the fact that each one of them was, they must have like did the whole, I'm going to write a number on a piece of paper for you. Slide it across.
Well,
the
they
table.
Had to. I mean, you're going to. It's just going to be what it is. But like, yeah, I just, like I said, I don't know. It just, like, when we're talking about cards worth a lot of fucking money, my thing that gets me sometimes is, like, you know, it's always the thing of, like, would you keep it or would you sell it? It's the same thing we talked about last summer with the whole One Ring. Now, all of us that work on the podcast here, we would sell it because we're all average Joes.
We're poor
money. And we have families and we have a thing beyond that. But, like, for other people,
we have mortgages.
But other people, though, like, yeah, he rents, okay? There's a difference. He's clearly winning right now. He's not that much of in debt with, like, we are with our old houses and stuff that we got.
Yeah, but you have equity. I don't.
It's true. It's very fair. Okay. Don't worry, Danny. The market's going to change. You'll have to jump into it with us. Jump in the pool, man. It's okay.
It's probably not changing anytime soon.
Well, I didn't say, like, right now. Anyways. But, yeah. So, like, there's that. But, like I said, like, for, I just want to know, like, who were the people that won these? Like, are they just professional grinders and stuff? Because, like,
we can look it up. Well, like, all that stuff was published information.
I think either way, it's cool. It's really cool that it.
Well, you have to be a grinder to get through.
Well,
any of
all these showdown things, yeah. I mean, Wade did a couple of those too, and get some Regavons. And he's got a couple. I mean, that's good for him too. But, like, just tell you, it's very interesting, in my opinion, on, like, just what it all is. I think it's cool. I think it's great. But yeah, you're probably right, Matt. It probably was a simple thing of they were hunting them. So, like, they definitely were getting a hold of these people after they found out who won and been like, hey, We'll offer you this. What do you think?
Isara was the first one that won at Philly last year. Nope, that is Worlds winner.
But, Worlds. Yeah. Worlds. We're talking Worlds.
But yeah, so how soon do you think it will be until Post Malone starts playing Legacy and picks these up?
I mean...
It's not even that. It's...
I don't know.
Honestly, he's more of a collector than Legacy, so he wouldn't play Legacy.
Also, he likes Commander more, too.
Yeah.
Like,
he'll just have four blue decks with the Brainstorm that's ultra rare.
I mean, if you have the money, like, why not? What?
Right.
Like he said on the Joe Rogan podcast, he's made worse decisions.
Was it the Joe Rogan or was it the other radio guy? I'm drawing a blank. Where he was talking about where Post Malone mentioned, he's like, yeah, this is a hard sell to my financial officer.
That was mentioned on the Joe Rogan.
Is the Joe Rogan one?
Yeah, because he said he made a bit of a I can't remember exactly the word, but basically a wild waste of money in a sense. I can't remember exactly the word that he used to express it, but like he basically, like he said there, he's like, it was kind of hard to explain to my financial advisor on why I'm doing this. And it's like, oh yeah, I mean, it's kind of a thing, but it is a fucking cool thing.
It's a very cool thing.
And if you got the money to do it.
I'm kind of rooting for Post Malone to come in here and swoop up those Brainstorms now.
You can root away.
He probably will. Or Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Cash Clay can get it.
Oh, what's the baseball player? Hunter? No. Pence. Who's the Pence?
I don't know. The baseball people.
The baseball player that's into Magic. Pence. Right? Is it the New York Giants?
First of all, we're all in front of a freaking computer.
Yeah, you have a computer to look this up. Why are you asking someone like me who you know doesn't care about professional sports?
Anyway,
has he been on a game night?
It's Hunter Pence.
It is Hunter Pence. Okay.
Has he been on a game night?
No.
Has he been on a Commander at home?
I don't know.
Then I wouldn't know who the fuck he is. Okay. I watch Magic stuff, Matt. I don't watch other things.
Okay. Okay.
Silly.
Speaking of Magic things,
Danny.
I'm just here to control you guys.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Matt. I don't care about Alchemy.
Okay.
Neither do I.
This came from the Wizards weekly updates, and we're just bringing it here to let you know now, is the Alchemy Karlov Manor is available tomorrow, March 5th, Tuesday, which has 30 new cards getting introduced to them in the Alchemy, Historic, Timeless, and Brawl formats. And the set includes new mechanic incorporated. There's a whole card image gallery and stuff. And along with this, there's also some rebalances of some cards.
Gotta fix shit, bro.
Yeah.
They help if you play test your cards.
A little bit. The big two that they didn't name, though, are Fragment Reality and Geological Appraiser.
Fragment Reality is an actual Alchemy card, while Geological Appraiser is an actual card.
Yep.
A paper card.
And the big changes they did here was we have Fragment Reality changed. Exile target non-artifact creature, artifact creature, or enchantment to exile target non-token artifact creature or enchantment an opponent controls. So I'm guessing there are some fucking weird shenanigans with that you could do.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't know because I don't play enough Historic Brawl to really care enough for that. But, yep. I mean, I got one in my roster because it's a cool card, I was told. So I was like, yeah, it looks really sweet. And then Geological Appraiser, all I did was just raise the price by one.
Yep. It's 5 mana instead of 4.
Yeah. And I got Fallout stuff on March 5th coming for Arena. And, of course, they just talk about other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it for the Arena news there. The next one that I wanted to bring up is pre-orders.
Yes.
For Modern Horizons 3 are out.
Oh, my God.
I'm bringing this up because we're going to talk about the prices of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna play this as kind of a little game here without looking at any screens. Scrolling down here. First up, we have the Modern Horizons 3 Collector Booster Box.
$500.
12 packs. 180 cards. This is all Amazon pre-order prices. First off, check with your LGS to see if they're doing pre-orders and stuff as well, right?
Yeah, special deals, things, whatever they got.
So $500, you're saying? Danny, how much do you think this box is?
Do a price is right. 501!
Ha! Your price is right, rule.
It's probably closer to 6.
Is it saying closer to 6?
Yep.
For 12 packs. I'm going
575.
504.
Should have went 501.
Should have went 501. You lost out, man. I mean, that, but this is just the start. It's not going to be like that.
Yeah, that's...
This is the Amazon hype. I mean, like,
yes.
Lord of the Rings made sense because they fucking told you, hey, we got a one-of-one ring collector piece in here, and these soul rings, those boxes are still selling for, I'm going to go look right now.
A lot.
Yeah. Again, noted with the Modern Horizons 3, the full set's not out yet. These are pre-order prices, and yes, as was mentioned, prices do fluctuate for this. The fact, again, I don't know, we're going to take a small step here on my soapbox talking about the fact that Wizards got rid of their MSRP for this kind of bullshit.
Still mad about it.
Very mad about
it. I'm very mad about it, too.
And it's like, what are we at, like 6 years after the fact? It was like at the start of the, no, it was at the start of the, yeah, it was before the podcast, so maybe 5 years. 5 years now. It was a bad decision because now you have like Amazon is setting prices that other LGSs then have to like go off of to try and
compete. It's not even that. It's the fact that Amazon has all the stock, so they can just do whatever the fuck they want.
Because they're direct with Wizards, baby.
So Matt, quick side tangent. What do you want to throw out there is the average price of a collector display of Lord of the Rings right now.
So to confirm, collector's display has 12 packs.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the same thing for the Universe versus Beyond one. They didn't change that. Okay. This isn't like double masters and stuff.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, the kind of thing is like, we're talking about a collector booster box labeled on Amazon here, but you said display.
Well, so they call it a display.
Okay.
It's a box, but they call it a display. What do you think is the average price right now?
It's definitely going to be more than 500. I'm going to say, I want to say 750, but I'm going to lower my expectations and go 675.
Yeah, you're just wrong, so it's okay.
You're way off.
Way off.
You're $200 off.
Yeah.
$900?
No, it's $429.
Down. Oh, okay.
So $430 is the average.
Okay, I was expecting it to be very expensive.
But that's not something to sneeze at, though. No. Because remember,
these still have
the soul rings.
Yeah, that's only because the one ring was found.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, technically, these would have went down even further, but because people realized that there's only 20,000 copies of all the different types of soul rings you can get, which include their serialized versions and the non-foil serialized or the non-foil regular versions. That's inclusive. 20,000 copies of those cards.
Yes.
And if you ever look at the prices of some of those serialized ones and non-serialized versions, holy fuck, that's just like great example. If you got a non-foil elven soul ring, it's almost exact same price as one of these fucking boxes.
Wow.
Okay. They're huge. It's 3,300, you know, like, so point is, if anyone feels like they want to give me a late birthday gift, like I will still take one of these boxes because I would love to get one. But that's the point I'm saying is this is things that are still existing. These are things you can find. Now I'll say this too. The first one that I comes up to here from one of the sellers on TCG, they're selling it for $409.50 with a $10 shipping fee. That's a pretty good fucking price still. So, back to the game and playing what we do.
I'm going to cost you over $400, but I'm going to give you a tax of $10 for shipping.
Kay. Well, we got to make some money somewhere.
So, we have the fat pack boxes, and these have...
Sir, they're not fat packs.
Bundles.
Thank you. They're bundles, sir.
They're
Johnny bundle packs.
9 play boosters.
Yeah.
30 lands.
10 of them, which
foil
are...
promo.
Not full art ones, right?
Yes.
Oh.
And those are the Eldrazi ones.
Yeah.
Okay. And it comes with a special die. No image of the die yet, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, they showed an image of the
die. No, they had one.
Okay, then I missed that. So what do you think is the price for a bundle? 9 packs, die, box.
I'm going to go with $80. I'm going to go with even 80.
Even 80?
Yeah. Because normally these are like 30 to 40 bucks anyways.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right now, they're pushing 80.
And Danny?
Daniel.
I'm guessing 130.
130. $94.
Ooh, look at me go.
$94. And then we have the Magic the Gathering Gift Edition bundle, which is fancy.
Fancier.
Has 6 play boosters and 1 collector booster in there, and pretty much like the same kind of stuff per usual gift bundles.
120.
120?
Same 135.
110.
We're both over. We both lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost.
And now we have the play booster box, which has 36 packs, 504 magic cards. And these are just the play boosters. So for a box of 36.
250.
200.
378.
What the fuck is wrong with them?
Damn.
378 for a fucking play booster box.
They're not going to sell for that much.
Yeah. As you can imagine, as soon as these pre-order prices came out, people on the internet were very upset.
Amazon, you're crazy. No one's buying this yet. We don't even know what's in the set.
You know that there's definitely people out there that have placed their pre-orders and stuff down, though.
Well, that's because they have the money to fucking throw at it. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just excited about that. I guess I think we talked Casey. About the prices. The prices last. Oh, naive Anthony. Prices will only go up.
Okay, Casey. Like, you know, you weren't guessing, Casey. How do you really know?
So the dice are different from the fat pack to the good bundle.
Hey.
You know what? I don't care.
Not a fat pack. It's a bundle. You just said that.
I was just giving Matt shit.
Anyways, yeah. There's a different die for each one.
Just look at the website.
Yeah.
Magic's website.
They're pretty cool looking, though. I'm not going to lie. I like the dice.
The one's blue.
Well, they got, they're both
darker blue, and the other one's a light blue.
Yeah, they're got
the Tamiyo blue.
Nice little turquoisey color on the Tamiyo one there.
Mm-hmm.
And the darker. I like them both. I think they look beautiful. Then he's got the regular ones for the pre-stuff. Pre-release event.
Yeah.
I just want to know, man. Who are the other three planeswalkers in this flip cycle they're bringing? I need to know.
Jace. Are you going to take some guesses?
It's definitely not going to be Jace.
Oh, yeah. Jace already had one.
Yeah. In Magic Origins, we had each planeswalker. Yeah, so we know it's a Johnny and we know it's Tamiyo. We have two.
I'm guessing Garruk.
No,
I don't think they would. I feel like they would pick.
Why wouldn't they do Garruk? We need a bit of more story on Garruk since he's been gone.
And yeah, but
he was a huntsman before he became a planeswalker. They showed Ajani what he was like before he became a planeswalker, you know, and shit on Alara. So
do you know what Garruk's story actually is?
Not fully, right?
He wasn't a huntsman.
He wasn't a huntsman?
No.
Oh,
there's a lot of backstory to that, actually, because of the old comics and stuff that I got and everything else.
TLDR?
Yeah.
What's the TLDR?
Okay, so Garruk was, before his spark ignited, this is also if they ever retcon anything. I don't know for sure, but from old man magic over here. So they put a story out with the comic book series they had there, Planeswalker 1 and 2 comics, which if you guys have those out there, it's Tybalt.
Okay, Casey in the chat saying it's Tybalt.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad about that. I do love Tybalt, and his story of how he becomes a planeswalker is really kind of cool in a bad way. But he was a young boy, and his father basically got killed in front of him by this, like, I haven't read this in a while, so I gotta remember exactly how it works.
TLDR.
So basically, he takes revenge, and then because of that, his spark ignites, and then he becomes a hunter. It's a weird explanation because you would think that he's a beast guy or whatever, the way they set him up to be, but then they turn him into like this. Like, essentially turn him into the Apex Predator before he's the Apex Predator card.
Okay.
Because he's, like, hunting other beasts and stuff type of thing. It's such a weird fucking setup for his character because I was like, I don't get it. But anyways, so the whole setup is, like, it's not as interesting as, like, these other two. These other two are way better.
Casey in the chat saying again, it'll probably be an Oko that flips into old Oko.
Oh, sad panda. I don't know. I'm just going to say, my hope would be like they would do Tezzeret because his is really interesting. Plus, like we've talked about in Discord and everything else, he's got a lot of story left still because they left a lot of his stuff open in March of the Machines. And he's kind of the underlying, like, not counting the Eldrazi because clearly they're coming back finally to, like, kind of introduce, well, Emrakul's out of the moon now, so we know that. But we don't know about the other two Eldrazi Titans.
From my understanding, this ain't story progression. This is just...
This is just modern.
No. It is, but they've stated in, like, one of the articles I was reading, is like, not every card is about progression. Some of it is, some of it isn't. Like, Tamiyo's, they're just showing prior before she's dead.
Right, right. And this could also be the case.
But for Emrakul, she's Emrakul, the world anew, and it shows her coming out of the moon on her other picture, if you look at it. So that's where I feel like they're kind of pushing Emrakul back into the story, not as like she's going to be the next bad we deal with, but she's a part of like the future progression of like Nicol Bolas, and Phyrexia was kind of their just, yeah, there it is right there. She's right there in front of the moon. She's out of the moon, dude. And her name is The World Anew. You don't name someone The World Anew and put them inside the moon. Right? Do you really do that? Do you really do that?
Hey, man, I'm not.
I mean, you toss her out of the moon, all of a sudden she's got madness and she's cheaper to play. Makes sense to me. And she's taking control of everything now because she's getting pissed. Because now she doesn't have to worry about the Phyrexians or Nicol Bolas.
Here's my out of left field flip walker.
Go for it.
Ugin.
That would be cool. I will take that.
Maybe
we're getting six flip walkers. Because, you know, he was in a core set for that one. That was a random throw in. He was in the core set.
Yep.
So once again, throwing that out there, I'll take six flip walkers. I don't care. I love the flip walker design. But like I said, I just hope it's like, I would really be cool for Tezzeret, because I'm a fucking simp for the Tezzeret guy, you know. I love Tezzeret, he's my man.
And Tybalt.
I would, dude. If I didn't get Tezzeret and they gave me Tybalt, I wouldn't be mad. I fucking love Tybalt as a character because he's so stupid. He just is enjoyed. Otherwise, like, I don't know who else they would pick, because like clearly they're gonna pick like relevancy and then minorly some like past storytelling, because like Tamio, because I mean everyone loved Tamio though. That's a big thing too.
Flip Kaya would be interesting.
Kaya would be good. I could see.
No. They're gonna hit us in the feels. A flip Dak.
No, they won't give us Dak. Nobody cared about Dak enough.
Everybody loved Dak because he got done dirty in the fucking preview video for Ravnica at War.
Yeah, but that was like not everybody knew who Dak Vayne was.
Yeah.
And he only ever had one card, so nobody cared.
Wizards gives winks, winks, nudges, nudges to the players and stuff here.
I would say like here's Elspeth would be kind of cool too.
Ugin,
well,
Dak Vayne are two.
I just feel like I can say hands down that like I could see Ugin, but I also could say that like a majority of these would probably be, they're all going to be multicolored planeswalkers.
Do you think they're going to do a flip Teferi? That seems like right there.
I probably wouldn't, just because they have given way too many cards and they've already explained that he was a planeswalker prior anyways that went into the bubble world and everything else. So we got enough of that. Like I said, I think this is my prediction that if I'm wrong, whatever, my hope would be this. Ugin would be cool. I would really hope they do that. Just because the six planeswalker, it'd be also great because the whole thing that they've already teased that they are bringing snow-covered wastes and everything for the full art lands or Eldrazi stuff. So, I mean, that's awesome. Ugin would be a great tie-in because he's a part of the Eldrazi stuff. Now, the other thing I would say is that these are all going to be multicolored planeswalkers and that their first side, I would assume, will be monocolored.
Yep.
And then flip into a multicolor. So that's where my thought process is, like maybe scouring through a lot of the multicolored planeswalkers and being like, which ones are you going to be there? Not bringing Dak Vayne, Matt.
Dude, how people wanted Dak Vayne in Modern. They got him in Legacy. Why
you
not?
You want to make a bet on that then, too?
We're making a bet on that?
I'll play Boosty for MH3.
MH3 play Boosty?
Dak if it's Vayne? Dak Vayne? I'm saying no, and you're saying yes.
I'm saying it's a left field one.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there if you want to make another bet on
this. I'm fine with making a bet on this, yeah.
Okay. If Dak Vayne, I owe you a pack. If no Dak Vayne, you owe me a pack.
Sounds good.
Deal. All right. So we got two of them. Write these down because I'm going to forget them right away. But yeah, so I would just like to see overall really cool choices. But like I said, Kaya would be cool. I think it'd be great because we didn't get a lot of Kaya out of where she came from and everything else. I mean, like we got a little bit from March where she's from because we saw one of the battles there. But other than that, I mean, I don't think Danny really cares what planeswalker because he already got one of his favorites out.
Kaya has quite a few planeswalkers already.
She sure does.
But she doesn't have a flip. Garrick's not going to have one because he already has a flip.
Yeah, it's true. That's also true, too. He did have a flip in Innistrad, so like, I feel like they'll just stay away from him. Cause, and also, like I said, he's not a very interesting origin story type one.
And
I think they're going to pick people for relevance because the original ones were Gideon, Chandra, Jace, Liliana, and Nissa were our first five. And then Nicol Bolas was the core set one that came like a year or two later or whatever it was.
Yep.
So like I said.
5 years.
Was it 5 years after Origins?
He was in M19. Origins was 2016? 2015?
Well, it was
first. Yeah, it was 2015.
So it was a year or two.
Sure.
Wasn't it?
For what?
I don't know. We'll look it up. Find out. Find out when Origins came out for me.
Gideon doesn't have a flip card.
Yes, he does. He's Kithian.
Yep.
Iroas, and then he turns into Gideon of whatever Justice. I have a deck of it for my son. Anyways.
I'm just looking at Scryfall and they don't have it.
Type in Kithian, okay?
I literally typed in Planeswalkers.
Ay, 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 ay. Yeah. So, like I said, I would like to see.
For some reason, they do have it, but they had it as K's instead of with Gideon.
They put, because his first side, his real name's Kithian. Because the story behind his was like when he went from Theros to the Shard of Bant on Alara, he tried to pronounce his name to them, and they heard it as Gideon Jura instead of Kithian Iroa. And I'm like, Jesus, that's crazy. Can't speak to each other. M19.
So, came out in 2018.
18. They're years ahead.
Yeah, and then Origins was 2015, so 3 years.
Okay. All right, that's fine. It's a few years, though.
They should bring back Sorin.
Yeah, they could.
Flip Sorin.
They could. I'm not saying no. So, but yeah, that would be my guess. That'd be the thing. That's what I got. That's what I know. Other than that. I'm just really excited for Modern Horizons. I want to see everything else in it. I'm really excited that they're in the Fetchlands finally. For the good old allies, you know. But also remember too, don't buy Fetchlands until after a few weeks to a month or so after a shit ton of stuff's been cracked.
Yes, this one.
Wait.
The unfortunate part is as expensive as it is, people are going to be buying it. Magic players are definitely known to split boxes with friends. So a $378 box, 150 split twice, you know, two ways. Cards are still going to get out there. So yeah, be patient. It comes out June 15th and wait till maybe August, end of August before we start seeing some prices. Yeah, there's going to be cards that like move up in price, like start low, but that's a lot of things. If you want to delve into that, then yeah, but be careful.
That's true. All right. Do we have anything else where we enter into our favorite time of the podcast?
No, I think we're ready to enter our favorite time of the podcast.
All right. So, Matt, before we start the whole Conjured Currency game and have Danny playing to overtake your spot of winning.
Oh, easily. He's going to do it.
Can you please give me a callback on the leaderboard right now?
Okay. So, leaderboard. We have Anthony, Garrett, Danny, and myself all on the board. We're playing for first quarter of the year, and then we're going to tally points and see how we each do. Right now,
we switched this to quarters now, huh?
I thought it was always quarters.
No, I thought this was for the entire year, but I'm okay with quarters. Well,
I mean, we'll total up and stuff.
We'll see what the first quarter looks like. We might have to do a buy thing because it depends if everyone's here or not all the time, you know.
I am sitting at 2.6 points. We have Anthony sitting at, doing math, 3.85 points.
Cool.
Garrett is at 5.25 points.
He had some pretty good weeks.
He did. He had a 2.5 week and a 2.75 week.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, last week, his first week, straight two.
Damn. Good job, Danny. Proud of you.
So, with that, what we do is we describe the card, and Danny will have to guess the format and the deck. Why that moves up and gets points accordingly.
And then, of course, if it's Commander, you got to guess what Commander it is versus the deck. And we might, depending on what it is, if you can't figure out the Commander, I don't know. I think Garrett's a little more generous than I am on giving people like smaller percentage point pieces there. But, you know, we'll go with what it is. So, also, I need a reminder because I'm so dumb at remembering this. Market and average.
Market is what people are buying. Average is what people are selling.
Fuck, I knew that. Damn it. All right, Danny. So we have the first card in the roster here. It is your friend. It is a part of the big deck from this past Pro Tour thing. The Vein Ripper. This is a vampire creature, 6/5, 3 colorless, 3 black, newly fresh card out of Markov Manor. And it is flying, ward, sacrifice creature, and whenever a creature dies, target opponent loses 2 life, and you gain 2 life. Now, Market price for the, and this is just the original copy. This is not the special version of the showcase dossier and nothing with the pre-release one, but this is the regular one. So market price, we have, oh, also to mention too, sorry, that this article comes out usually on Friday and we read this on Monday. So prices do change, just so people are aware. It is at $27.04, which had a 239% increase. Market price right now, they have it at $23.13. Average price, $25.89. Foils, you can find these for $31.40. European average is €14.24. And like I said, the dossier version, they show marked at like $54. Pre-release version, $39.94. All-time low for this card, $7.90. All-time high on the 24th of February, $32.99. Danny, format, deck, commander, Oathbreaker,
Pioneer.
All right, what deck?
No idea.
No, you don't even want to give it a try?
Rakdos. I honestly have no idea what formats or
what deck.
What deck type? Some Rakdos deck.
You can give a 0.75 in this.
0.75?
Yeah, he gets 0.75. It is Pioneer. I thought even me throwing in that random clue at the beginning for you about the Pro Tour.
Well, I knew it was Pioneer.
Yeah. I didn't know if you watched or not. So.
No, I just was looking at it. It's from Marlov.
Murders of Karloff Manor. Yeah.
So I was like, okay well, it's Pioneer.
Fine. So anyways, I mean, this, I don't want to say this was like an easy one, but it kind of was. But... I mean, Matt could have probably guessed this wrong, though, because he would have said Stanley.
Matt would have talked himself out of it.
I would have.
You're terrible.
I would have.
No, it's, yes, it is Pioneer. It is. It was in the secretive, low-key deck that Channel Fireball brought of Rakdos Vampires. Like I said, I'll give you the 0.75, because you did say Rakdos. Because you're like, I don't know, but I'm going to go with Rakdos. Sounds good. Yeah, this is one that they discussed about undervalued cards from Murders at Karloff Manor. I'm a Manor. MKM. We're just going to go with that.
MKM.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, this is hard to talk some days. Another one they talked about in the article, too, was talking about how Cryptic Coat jumped up and like where and everything like that. But yeah, great card. It was in the winning deck that Seth Manfield was piloting. It showed a lot of power and potential. They also note, too, the main reason for the spike, of course, is because... you have Sorin Imperius Bloodlord, which you're able to drop this on turn 3. People claiming this to be like a Splinter Twin combo-esque type feel because it was for Pioneer-wise consideration. Other cards that also, besides Sorin and Vein Ripper, you have Preacher of the Schism, Fable of Mirrorbreaker, and Smothered Copter being support card for this deck. So yeah, there was a lot of jump, I would definitely say, with these cards. And... it's just a powerful card. And yeah, for Pioneer, this is great. So, once again, though, wouldn't be anything without Sorin, though.
So Sorin jumped up to plus $40 as well.
For
Sorus Imperius Bloodlord.
Yep. So, if you got some of those, be happy. They're, just throw out there. Market price, $40. Average, $43.83. Foils are at $58.34. Damn. Dude, I bought some of these foils like for a little bit cheaper than that before the whole Pro Tour thing ended. Because I saw the deck and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to play this deck. I got to steal.
It's good to have that.
I don't know, right? Anywho. All right, going on to the next card. Going up in price, we have Damning Verdict. This is sitting at $17.39, which had a 65% increase. Damning Verdict is a sorcery out of the new Capenna Constructed commander deck. I can't remember what's the commander's name. It's the Rhino dude.
Perry,
yep. So this is for 3 and a white and a white. Destroy all creatures with no counters on them. This has...
Matt, you're losing.
One alternate version to it, which is a extended art one. We have the market price for this card, $16.70. Average price is $17.99. European average is €9.49. There are no foils for this one, so saves you a little bit of money. So the question is, Danny.
Commander.
And there's a format?
Commander.
Who's the commander then?
I have no idea. Something to do with counters. I have no idea.
Give him half a point because that's all he's going to get.
That's fine.
That's all he's going to get. Yes, of course, this is Commander, as they talk about in this article too. The good old love for sweepers we don't want or have sometimes, but people, they get into a heated discussion online about how good something is between like Sunfall, Farewell, you know, White's had a lot of things, Wrath of God, everything else. Big thing about this one is that it's a great include, especially from the Perry the Pulverizer Commander Precon, but you also play around with like Rahan, the last of the Obzon, like doing counter stuff. But the main reason this is getting pushed up right now is from the new pre-release include card, Volja, Jaws of the Conclave, which is a quick reminder. Good old big legendary wolf from Tolsimir's good friend there. Two in Naya. Legendary wolf 5/5 with vigilance, trample, and ward 3. And says whenever Volja, Jaws of the Conclave attacks, put X plus 1 plus 1 counters on each creature you control. Rex is the number of elves you control, and draw a card for each wolf you control. It also had a little bit of a push from Sophia the Dog Detective, which is out of the new precon for MKM. This is a Bant one that also revolves around the idea of like using dogs and everything else. So,
It's Scooby-Doo.
Speaking of that, Matthew Willard is doing more Scooby-Doo.
I saw that.
Cool. I was going to mention that earlier. But
there's a headline. He got signed
well, this is a great fill-in for that. So
I'm hyped. As everybody knows, I'm a Matthew Willard stan.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Matthew Willard. He's a fucking Google guy. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that was the push for that. Moving on. Number 3. Last and final one. There is no 4. I checked earlier. There's no 4. We have Gonti's Aetherheart sitting at $11.06, had a 107% increase. This is a card that had literally just a pre-release version and in foils, but pre-release was $23.96 for its price. We're looking right now at a market price of $11.58, average price $12.20. Foils for this card are $29.25, European average €3.83. Danny, can you please tell me what format is causing this to jump up?
Did you read the card?
Oh, sorry, I didn't read the card.
I'm reading it right now.
I'll let Danny think about while I read the card for everyone else. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
All right, so we have Gonti's Aetherheart, a legendary artifact for 6 generic mana. Whenever Gonti's Aetherheart or another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you get 2 energy counters. Count it, 2 energy counters. You can pay a total of...
The worst mechanic out there.
8 total energy. It's really small on my screen over here. Trying to look away too. You can exile Gonti's Aetherheart. Take an extra turn after this one. What? Energy's a great thing. I loved energy. That was a good standard.
Terrible.
Clearly, he's not a fan.
No.
So what's your thoughts, Dan?
It's either Pioneer or Commander. I want to say it's Commander just because of the extra turns.
Okay.
And anything to do with artifacts, clearly.
So you're going to lock it in with Commander?
Yeah.
And artifacts?
Yep.
Not a Commander at all in mind? Not even going to try?
No.
Not even going to? Okay. Dan doesn't play around, Matt. Not like you. Doesn't play like you. So he gets half a point. It is definitely Commander. Because I'll tell you right now, this baby ain't Pioneer.
Well, it's like...
Maybe... No, because even MH3 is going to have some energy stuff. It ain't going to help either. Maybe Modern will have some energy stuff. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, it is Commander. The main push for this right now is because of something we talked about coming out this Friday, which is the new Fallout decks. And one of those is a Jeskai-colored energy-based deck.
Called Science.
Science! So yeah, this is... I would definitely say this isn't a huge push on price, but it's the one to watch. But yeah, the big thing is like this, Aetherworks Marvel, they had very small upticks because of the new Universes Beyond Fallout decks, Science, and because of Dr. Madison Lee, who's the main commander for it, as well as you have Liberty Prime Recharged, and then there's also Rex Cyberhound from it, which... are the 3 kind of focused legendary creature cards in that deck that are pushing energy very heavily from what we've seen. Whatever else we have too. I know there's like a few other things with like proliferation, Gravestorm stuff. Like storm mechanic stuff. I mean, like,
arguably, this could also be like affinity artifact stuff here as well.
I mean, it could.
One thing of note that makes this a very powerful card, exile. You can sack it with the ability.
Yes.
And stuff. Like, that's one thing that makes it. There's one way to break this. Like, you can bring it back. Or am I misremembering?
I don't know. I just know you have to exile. You have to pay the energy in exile before you take the turn. So
yeah. There's something that you can do, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, technically in modern, you could use Karn to bring it back to your.
Yeah.
As a wishboard piece. You can't Pioneer, though.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. I mean, the reality is, though, this is pretty cool. I could definitely say. So my thing is, here's my thing about it. This is something that I've been looking at as an idea in Pioneer for a long time, which is just like how to break like the artifact energy stuff. Because yes, there is Solemnity that exists, but that doesn't get played for anything. So how have we not seen like an energy Pioneer deck? No. It's a good mechanic.
Energy in Standard was trash.
But
it also came out in a trash set.
Do you not remember like the Pro Tour with the old Eldrazi coming out from Aetherworks Marvel?
Nope.
It was not trash in Standard. It was fucking bomb.
I got stomped by that.
That deck was fucking killer. Like, I played that deck for a while, and then I switched to something else because I got bored. But no, Energy was not fucking trash. This thing was beautiful. Now everything else, the reason why we have a commander deck coming out to push it, I mean, we need that because anywhere else it's fucking trash.
It's like a weak, it's a trash mechanic.
It's a weak mechanic outside of Standard when it came, okay? That's how it is. Pioneer, could be a different story. You never know. If I prove everybody wrong with it, cool. I'm going to go for it. But point stands.
It's trash.
I will definitely say for this is one of the three cards we talked about for going up in price, though. This is the one I would definitely watch to go back down price if you want to get it. Because after the Fallout decks come out, everyone's going to get their copies they want. And no one's going to be buying anymore. And you can just get a regular one. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, Matt, can you tell us what we have for cheap pickups?
I can indeed. First up, we have from Lost Caverns of Ixalan, Stalactite Stalker, $2.10, slowly moving up. And this was picked up by the MTG Stocks Premium Penny Stock feature. This can be an important card. There's a lot of online brewers talking about this in like Demir decks and Standard and Pioneer Legacy. This was getting played by Thraben Yu as a
thing. Oh yeah, I watch his channel a lot too.
Yeah, Thraben Yu makes good content. Not sponsored. Go check him out though, because yeah, you want to watch some intense gameplay. Him Bosh and Roll for sure.
Yep.
Next up we have Rishadin Port. The M25 version, $8.49, slowly moving down. This is a card that is a lot more backbreaking than you think when you use it correctly.
Yep, Legacy All-Star, Vintage All-Star, and I don't remember what other deck. I know some of the control decks like to run in Vintage, but like Legacy, it's very heavily used in your Stax decks.
I think it was also like a Knight of the Reliquary deck as well.
Yes, you can, yes, like, yes.
Get that up very easily there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, controlling people's lands. It's kind of nice.
Next up is Horizon Canopy, the Doctor Who printing. I don't know which deck that one came out in.
I don't
the
know
Doctor
which
Who
one
Commander
is.
Decks. $2.25 and moving down. And there you have it. That's your weekly winners and your conjured currency section.
Can we get a recap on points right now?
Yes.
First through last.
Okay. First place, we have Garrett at 5.25 points. Next up, we have Anthony with 3.85 points. Third place, Danny, 3.75 points. You're only 0.1% behind Anthony right now, and that's nice. Because Garrett gives off odd points.
Like I said, Garrett's very generous with his points, and also he makes like really weird points sometimes.
0.75 is not a weird point.
That is not a weird
point. No, that's not. But the fact that I have
0.85.
I have 0.85 though. That's the thing. Like,
and I at 2.5 or 2.6.
Once again, you had a 0.1 in there.
I got a 0.1
something. So like it's just whatever. It keeps it interesting, okay?
So leader, Garrett, Anthony, just barely behind. All it's going to take is Anthony to have a bad week or Danny to get the full Monty And
or I'm gonna get the full Monty one of these times.
And I'll clearly never get the full Monty. I'm gonna be holding last place. I'm gonna be the caboose.
Well, like I said, we'll see. We'll see how the quarter part goes. If we can do quarterly, otherwise, this might have to be a bi-yearly situation.
We will find out.
So, how much time do we have left for the quarterly? Like, just the end of this month, right?
Yeah.
Well, Danny's even got how many times now coming up here? Twice. I don't know. He's still doing pretty good in the lead there.
So we each have three times.
Yep. Okay.
Because when you're here, that'll be your weekend. And then it'll be...
Well, next week's you, technically.
Yep.
So that'll be your last week for the quarter.
Yep.
Then it'll be me.
Then Danny.
Garrett. Then it'll be Garrett.
Garrett, I'm after Garrett.
And he's after Garrett. He's
but we got it. We're gonna have to change it if you got.
No. He'll make it.
He's 2 Mondays off in a row.
Yeah, but we still have. Yeah. But we have an extra week though this month and this month or okay. this one. So like
the
we
math,
have
the math checks out nonetheless.
I would be my third one would be the first.
Well. Okay. Danny would have to play on the first. It's just going to be that way.
Well, that is my week.
That's fine.
So
12 yeah. weeks.
It works out. It's fine. We started this after a week anyways. It doesn't matter. We make up the rules of the game we want to play.
Okay? Points don't matter.
The points don't matter. We are
except perfect. If you're mad.
So go check out TCG Sniper. They're an amazing price tracking website. You get notified of when cards move up or down in price that you set at your own whatever you want. If you want to know when Gonti's Aetherheart moves down and stuff, or if you want to get notified on when the prices of the Commander or the Modern Horizons 3 stuff on TCG Player, when that gets put up there, when the pre-orders go down, get notified on that as well through TCG Sniper.
Hey, what if you mention us to those guys?
You will get 3 months free of their Plus program, which gives you unlimited cards to enter.
Oh my God, I could do all the cards.
You do all the cards, all the products. But if you just sign up for their free account, honestly, that alone is still worth it.
15?
15. 50.
50?
50.
I thought it was 15.
I think it's 15.
15. You get 15 cards.
I missed 15 cards, products, and whatever else. Yeah, that's on TCG, so it's all good.
Keeps you up to date with that. So, you guys have anything else you want to add to this before we hit that outro?
I sort of do. I found a quick blog talk, but it's just more of a quickie one, so it's not really an interview or another episode.
Do it up real quick.
So this one comes from King of You 115. Is committing a crime purely the act of targeting an opponent or something of theirs, or is it from resolving a spell / ability that targeted an opponent or something of theirs?
That's a good new question. Mechanic,
basic. Yep. So they go on. Basically, if I cast murder on their creature and they counterspell it, did I still commit a crime? What if I sacrifice their creature in response, causing murder to fizzle? So it's quite simple. If you cast murder, your opponent counterspells it, you still commit a crime. So yes, attempted murder is a crime.
So essentially, for the new mechanic of committing a crime in Magic,
you can stack targets.
As long as you targeted the player or a thing that the player owned.
Yes.
Which includes also spells, because you counter-target spell.
Yep.
As an example for counterspell.
Countering a spell is committing a crime?
Yeah, because they're targeting them.
Because you own the spell that you're trying to cast.
I thought it had to be permanent.
Nope, no. It's a spell.
Oh, sick.
That's why they phrase it as the targeting the player or targeting something the player owns.
Yep. Okay.
And you own the spell.
Dope.
So you can get multiple triggers off of committing a crime without actually hitting anything.
I'm going to be committing so many crimes with counterspells.
Hey, guess what? We commit crimes every day when we play our podcast.
Woo!
And our pods also on Saturdays.
And if we take after Casey, who told us what committing a crime was last week, you get free pre-release if you commit a crime by bringing a gun.
No. We do not condone this. Do not do this. That is stupid. I will say, like, I really enjoy the mechanic mentioning of like the idea of crime for like
murders.
Cowboys. Oh. No, just like the idea of Thunder Junction being all about like outlaws. Cowboys and the outlaw of the West and everything like that. But I feel like Watsy, you should have probably like right away thrown that out of exactly what it is versus people having to ask and then blog a talk later go, hey, here's what it is.
Well, when we get closer, they'll have the release notes.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
detail. We're just in the pre everything.
If you, but I'm saying though, you show something off with like
a new
mechanic specifically. Also says commit a crime, because this is also a kids game too. This isn't just adults.
13 plus.
That's still a kid.
Yes.
But the point is, just maybe kind of explain it a little bit better. I'm just asking that part. I'm not saying you can't have this. You can have this all day. I'm okay with that. It's the idea of words. Words are powerful, so we need to be careful sometimes.
So commit crimes, kids. Get into that pre-release for free.
Don't listen to Matt.
Commit crimes only on paper. Nothing more.
Don't write down your crimes. That's how you get caught.
No, you don't. Shut up. Shut up.
You know how many people have been caught, been solidified their crimes because they wrote them down in a journal or they had.
I'm going to usurp you from this podcast. You shut up. Yeah, don't write in a journal, you weirdo. Oh, just end this, okay? This is over. You're committing a crime by keeping this here.
Oh, pew, pew, pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
Thank you to all you legendary magic folk for making it to the end of episode 221 of This Week in MTG. As we wrap up another episode, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to our incredible listeners and Patreons. Your enthusiasm fuels our passion for all things Magic the Gathering, and we're honored to be a part of this vibrant community. Stay tuned for more exciting updates, discussions, and insights in the world of Magic. And until next time, may your mana be plentiful and your draws ever favorable. Keep gathering those magical moments.
Bye.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!
It is a best of one round robin. Round robin. Round robin.
Wabbit.
Wabbits, man.